on our second message in our Ezra series, and we want to talk about reclaiming your purpose. If you feel like you've fallen away, or if you feel like you need just a healthy little reminder, last week we learned from the book of Ezra that we can become distant from God through failure, forgetting what is important. We tend to forget what is important. You know, in relationships, we can tend to forget what's important. Our relationship with God, we can tend to forget what's important. When we fail, we tend to beat up on ourselves, so we withdraw. We do the same with God. And also through wrongdoing. We also learn that we can return to God, and he will welcome us with open arms, like the lost son to his father. And we need to recognize that God has reclaimed his people according to his promises. And today he also reclaims and redeems our lives for his purpose in this world. And that's really the key right there, for his purpose. Not your purpose, not my purpose, but for his purpose. And that's where people get hung up. They don't want to give that power. They don't want to give up that power. They want to control. We want to control. Well, this is all about giving that control over to him for his purpose. We're also reminded that God remembers his promises despite our past, despite our sin. And he does this by showing us that he reminds us of his promises. He does this by showing us the promises that he's given to us. And he welcomes us again on our faith journey with open arms. Man, we can get caught up despite what we've said to God, despite what we've done in our own life, despite the wrongdoings and rebellion against God, he's willing to let that go. And so he is faithful to us. And we saw that if we were struggling in our relationship with God, that God will be there and he wants, the scripture challenged us to reconnect our trust, our love, and our obedience to him. And so today I want to show you that God is a God that uses unlikely people to accomplish his purpose. And these people, because of God's love for you, will bless you. They will bless you. And now, when I say unlikely people, I know you're thinking, oh, so some of the judges, some of the left-handed people, right? You know, there's a judge that was left-handed and God used him. And back then, that was a bad thing. You couldn't be left-handed. That was a cultural no-no, right? Don't be left-handed. Nowadays, we love you left-handed people, even though you smear ink all over the paper you write. And when you write on a chalkboard, you smear it all over that. We appreciate you and love you. There's nothing wrong with you. Today, God uses unlikely, and I know you'd be thinking that God is talking about people who believe in him that are unlikely people. It comes down to a larger purpose. It comes down to a larger meaning than just us. And if we can get our minds around the idea that just because a person is not a believer in God, it does not mean that God won't and is not using them. We have to understand this clearly out there, and it'll change how you value people in general. Just for a moment, we need to look at if people do bad things that can impact you to the negative, it's just natural progression that those that do good will impact you to the good. We understand that. But let's take it a little bit further and let's look at it and say that people who do bad things, guess what? God can turn those into good. Maybe you had a poor parent experience. Maybe your father or mother was not a great example. You can take that and run with the negative, or you can take that and say, you know what, because of their mistakes, I'm going to do differently. I'm going to do better. And I have to believe that, you know, as a parent, I have done better than mine. Not saying they were bad, they made mistakes, but I've done better. And I hope my kids will do better. And we should always hope that we improve. But to blame and to cast all that blame on them and not take any responsibility for our own actions and our own attitudes is a big deal. And that it gets blended into our relationship with God, and it gets smeared and blurred, and then we just end up forgetting about God because we've been too hurt. We can't blame the past. We can't blame other people for our own issues. We have to come to grips with them. It doesn't mean all our issues that we have, it doesn't mean that we're going to fix every issue that we have. It doesn't mean that we're going to even recognize all those issues, but the fact that we don't blame others, whether or not they had that direct or indirect example with us, or indirect relationship. So don't blame others. It's time today that we take responsibility for our own actions and recognize there are many people that can speak into our lives, that can speak into the journey that you and I are on, and ours is so different. So I'm going to read a couple scriptures for you and then explain them. We're going to look at Ezra chapter 1, 1 to 4, chapter 7, 11 to 26, and I'll read them for you right now, Ezra 1, 1 to 4. In the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the word of the Lord spoken to Jeremiah, the Lord moved the heart of Cyrus, king of Persia, to make a proclamation throughout his realm and also to put it in writing. This is what Cyrus, king of Persia, says. The Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build a temple for him at Jerusalem in Judah. Any of his people among you that may go up to Jerusalem in Judah and build the temple of the Lord, the God of Israel, the God who is in Jerusalem, and may their God be with them. And in any locality where survivors may now be living, the people are to provide them with silver and gold, with goods and livestock, and with freewill offerings for the temple of God in Jerusalem. Okay, so the king of Persia is not a Christian. Let's back that up. Does not believe in Jehovah. He does not believe in God. Okay, he doesn't believe the same as God's chosen people. He doesn't believe any of that. He actually believes in a different religion that is like, everybody's okay, let anything happen, it's all good. And it's a little more complicated than that, but his religion is completely different than the God of Israel. Let's go to chapter 7, verse 11 to 26. This is another king. You and your fellow Israelites may then do whatever seems best with the rest of the silver and gold. In accordance with the will of your God, deliver to the God of Jerusalem all the articles entrusted to you for worship in the temple of your God, and anything else needed for the temple of your God that you are responsible to supply, you may provide from the royal treasury. That would be just like our good old friend Trudeau saying, hey, anything you guys need, just take it out of the Bank of Canada. Right? He's not going to do that, by the way, just to let you know. Now I, King Artaxerxes, declares, we'll talk about his name some other time, but that's a whole other issue, declare that all the treasures of the Trans-Euphrates are to provide with diligence whatever Ezra the priest, the teacher of the law of God of heaven, may ask you. Now, these are world leaders at this time. These are world leaders. And these scriptures that we read, and there's more in here, are letters, decrees, whatever you might want to say, however they brought them out, to other leaders and other people in the whole kingdom. And they explained that they were giving favor to this group of people and permission for this group of people to move and build their temple. And at the same time, they gave permission, these kings and leaders, for resources. So these are people that don't believe in the same God. So today, we need to comprehend the fact that, and we say it a lot, but in God's sovereignty, he uses world leaders. God uses world leaders, even if we don't like them. Even if you don't like them, you don't like anything they do, he still uses them. Are those in power chosen by God? Well, let me just read for you Romans chapter 13. Now, before I read it, I want to explain to you that in Romans, Paul is saying, I don't want you fighting with authorities. I want you paying your taxes. We need to pay our taxes, whether you like it or not, whether you think it's too high or not. Same problem goes here. Whether you like it or not, we got to pay our taxes. He's saying, I don't want you fighting against authorities. And he means like warring against authorities, creating disturbances. What he wants is them to show the example of Jesus' love. Okay, now, where do you go and draw the line with that? That's a whole other message. We can talk about that some other time. But the point is, in showing love, we are showing what Jesus has shown. Okay, so we need to respect the authority. We don't need to agree with everything that they do or say, but we need to respect their authority. Okay, so I'm going to read this, and it says this. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. We may not like it. We may not appreciate it, but they are established. Does that mean we don't stand up when we need to stand up? We do. But we do it with love, and we do it with respect. And that's how we handle these things. Will we win every time? No. Will we lose? Many, many times. But they are there. And whether I agree with it or not, the problem is bigger than me. The problem is bigger than you. So whether we agree with who's in position, whatever's going on is beyond them. It's beyond them. And so we have to come to grips. So if you were a Harper fan, good for you. If you were a Trudeau fan, good for you. If you are another fan of other people of other countries that may be attached to us or not, and or, it doesn't matter to me, okay? But I know that God has placed these people where they are. Do I agree? Not always. Not always. Do I make it an issue? I do not make it an issue. For one thing, in Canada, that's not our position as a charitable organization. This is official to the CRA and the Charity Societies Act. We therefore have no political stance whatsoever. You can mark that down. Disclaimer. There you go. But we do believe in biblical principles. Okay? So if a leader is against our biblical principles, then I am against them in that area. That area. Doesn't mean they don't do other things that are good. It just means in that area. How do you fight against that? Well, there's all sorts of ways. Okay? You can go and show support for your beliefs in very peaceful and loving ways. And there are ways to do that. And however that works for you, that's how it is. But we can do that in love and show love. Now, Cyrus, Darius, in this portion of Ezra, and Artaxerxes were the most powerful men in the world. Puts Trump and everybody else to shame. Okay, these were heavy rollers. Okay, they got what they wanted, and if they were ruling today, there's no country that can hold anything to them. Okay, they were it. Now, of course, like in all times, they always end up losing their power and someone else takes over. But these powerful men were used in bringing God's people home. This tiny little group of people. The Persian Empire stretched from Africa to southern Europe to China. It was the center of economics, of military, and cultural power. The Persian Empire was awesome. Thousands of tribes and nations and people groups were conquered by the Persians. And amazingly, out of all of this, all three of these world leaders helped this tiny little group of Jewish people in a small, tiny little geographical area of that empire. They helped them make it home. And guess what? They paid the way. They paid the way. They made it rain with gold and silver, and they made it, they gave them everything they wanted. And then said, anything they don't have, the kings are like, we'll just take it out of the treasury. So when we talk about how powerful God is and how his resources are unlimited, Ezra's proof. Ezra's proof of that. So God used these world leaders. These world leaders, every single one of them that had any kind of authority, they had no lineage and no family connection to Abraham. None. It's impressive. And so we need to understand that from history and from the character of God seen in his word in scripture, that God, for whatever reason, has things under control, and he's going to do it his way. He's going to do it his way. And he uses the people that you might think right now that are in power that are basically not able to be used. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord." He uses these world leaders, and we have to recognize we can disagree, but we have to disagree with love. God, in his sovereignty, secondly, uses unlikely sources. And when I say sources, you might think, leaders. No, unlikely sources. And I can think of a few examples, but God, in his sovereignty, uses situations to fulfill his will and his purposes. And I'm going to give you an example of that. Did you know that taking down the Berlin Wall, rock and roll had a big impact on bringing down the Berlin Wall? Did you know that? No, exactly. Why would you? Because it's unlikely. It's like, pardon me? It's like saying bluegrass. You know, no, I'm not going to get into that. Sorry, I was going to go somewhere. But I'm telling you, so many musicians were used because they were trying to knock down the wall and get rid of communism and all that type of stuff. But I'm going to date myself here. Bruce Springsteen. Yeah, I know. Back in my day, would be the Taylor Swift of my era. Ultimately helped with other musicians bring down the Berlin Wall. And it was 16 months before the wall fell in July 1988. And not only did Bruce Springsteen, I mean, really? God used Bruce Springsteen to help a world, like something incredible in the world? He did. God did. He threw a concert. And he went out there to the East Germans, and he played Born in the USA, which... It's just, I never did really like that song. But he did it, because I don't know if you know this, I wasn't born in the USA. It's great if you were, but so it didn't speak to me. There was no connection, right? You can't say, I was born in Canada. It doesn't have the same ring. But he did a 4-hour concert, and he opened with this song called Badlands, and it's a song that East Germany, they thought it referred to their country and all that. And he played some other songs. And then he did this speech. He delivered a speech for the wall to be torn down. And with this unlikely influence of Western rock music with other people, other musicians, it helped change the world. It changed the world. An unlikely resource, an unlikely source changed the world. Now, I'm not saying that rock and roll will change your life, but... even if you don't like it, it could. We have to be open to the fact that maybe it would. I'm not saying that the Gaithers can't impact your life and change your life. Because guess what? Even the Gaithers can change your life. I love the Gaithers. I'm dating myself again, but I love them. I love the harmonies. They're fun. They're jokey, right? They goof around, but then they're serious. They're good, wholesome music. But at the same time, some of you may go, oh, it's like nails on a chalkboard. You might say that. You might say that about rock and roll. You might say that about any type of music. When rap first came out, I never liked it. I still don't like it. It's nonsense. They ramble. I don't know what they're saying. Nowadays, I can't understand them. What are they saying? They're poets. No, you're not. I don't get it. Someone tell me what they're saying, please. Whew. Some may say country. Don't talk to me bad about country. I've switched. I'm a big country fan. I like country. But that's a whole other story. And I remember an old minister back in the day used to say, the great thing about country music is if you play it backwards, you get your house back, your dog back, and your wife comes home. So that's why it's uplifting. But I'm telling you right now, God uses all sorts of sources to change anything in our life, to change our direction, to change our situation. He can use it to do that and to change our life from these unlikely sources. And so I'm here to tell you today that these kings had no other beliefs and religions that were similar, nothing similar to what Israel had, and God used them. And thirdly, God in his sovereignty uses, wait for it, he uses people in our lives to change our course. Now, I'm going to read you this scripture, and then I'll expand on it, but Exodus 18, 13 to 27. The next day, Moses took his place to judge the people. People were standing before him all day long from morning to night. When Moses' father-in-law, yes, God uses in-laws. I said it. It's scriptural. I can't argue this one. I fight it, but he uses them. It's a joke, in just case you were wondering. But his father-in-law saw all that he was doing for the people and said, "What is going on here? Why are you doing all this? And all by yourself, letting everybody line up before you from morning till night?" Moses said to his father-in-law, "Because the people come to me with questions about God. When something comes up, they come to me. I judge between man and his neighbor and teach them God's law and instruction." And then Moses' father-in-law said, "There's a better way." And he was probably the first man in the history of the world to listen to his in-law. And it changed his world. And he was able to set up people who could help take the burden from him. It's impressive. God uses people in our lives. Another powerful example in scripture is a more direct, and it's a conversation between Nathan, the prophet, when he came to spoke to David after David slept with Bathsheba, and he was blunt and right to the point. God uses those people to speak into our lives. But sometimes, and I say sometimes, and probably more than we recognize, God uses people that are not part of our community of faith. That are not part of our community of faith. And Ezra is a perfect example of that. He uses people that might seem the last people in the world that God would use. And I'm sure you've all seen the movie Schindler's List, a German person who took Jewish people to work in his factory, at his business. And he took them mainly at the beginning because they were cheap. And if they didn't use them, they were sent off to the concentration camps. But over the course of his story, he develops a relationship with these people and understands them. And because of his wealth, he uses that wealth to get more people. This German businessman in the time of the Nazis saved so many people, and who would think that that would be something that could be done at that time. He was used to change the course of history, and he did it incredibly. Now, in your life, do you have a boss? Do you have a friend? Do you have a family member, a co-worker that could be being used by God to change your course, to change your path, or at very least influence your journey on your spiritual walk? Do you think they could be? And here's how I want to answer that for you. I guarantee you they are. You know that person that gets under your skin every day when you go to work or go to school or whatever it is? That person that grates on you every day and you pray to God to take this cup from me. You're being persecuted so much by this person, just in general. Maybe they don't like your face and they treat you poorly. Maybe they're just a negative person. But whatever it is, this coworker, these friends, whatever they are, you have a hard time with. I'm here to tell you, you could be being taught something. You could be being taught patience. You could be being taught grace, love, understanding. Maybe you don't know anything about their life. God's probably trying to teach you something. And if you can look at relationships like that, I promise you, you'll pull things out and see things in your own life that you want to change, that you want to be better at even. Let's say that. Maybe you already do it, but you want to be better because of the negative influence. Maybe there's somebody that's positive and they're doing a positive thing. That's all great. But we tend to focus on the negative, and that's why I want to get on that one. I want to focus more on the negative because we stay there. And we're like, oh, negative, negative, negative. It's easier to live in. And woe is me. It's so hard. And I had an experience in my past where a person grated on me daily. I just couldn't think of any way. It was either quit or whatever. And I had no choice. But I knew I had to stick it out. But what God spoke to me in this time is he said, stop beating yourself up and worrying about how you feel. What's going on in that person's life? What's going on in their life? And God taught me through this person. They didn't know it. They were just being their normal kind of jerky self. They taught me so much. They taught me patience. They taught me how to read people. They taught me how to have a conversation when I don't really want to. Taught me a lot. And in the end, I turned out and had a healthy relationship with them in the end. It's limited. You know, it still goes on today, but it's limited. But that's only because of personal interests and things like that. But I can have, without wanting to, and pardon me, because pastors do get this way, choke them out. Right? You get frustrated. You all do. Don't pretend you don't, because you do. You get frustrated where you just want to squeeze someone with the love of Jesus till their head pops off. Right? We get there, and it's okay. But obviously we don't. And then we learn. And so I'm here to tell you today, if there's something in your life, whether it's a person, a situation, whatever it is, find out what God's trying to teach you. Don't just pack it in and say, oh, woe is me. Life is just, God, you're punishing me. We've already talked about that, right? We've talked about that in the past. But don't have all this pity party. Recognize there's something to be learned here. And I get it. We can all go through. Maybe it goes on for like a week or two or longer where you're just stuck in this rut. I'm here to warn you to get out of it. Get out of it. Just get out of it. Try harder. You're like, I can't. You could. Try harder. Try harder. You see, they can influence your life in your journey. Even though it's negative, they can. If we can't come to the recognition that God can use everyone in our situations, everyone in our path, if we can't glean anything from these people, we're going to miss out on what God wants to do for us. And you're going to miss out for what God wants to do in your life and how he wants you to impact other people. We need to recognize this. And so, don't miss others because they don't fit into your idea of who God would use. Don't miss out on what others have to teach you because he will speak to you through them. Who in your life do you identify as a Cyrus, as a Artaxerxes, king? Who do you identify as those people in your life? A boss, a manager, a coach? It can be good, it can be negative, it can be positive. A politician who may not be a believer and yet who God has used for the good in the lives of people. When you identify those people right now, when somebody pops up in your head who is maybe someone you wouldn't think, when they pop up in your head, pray for them. Pray for them specifically because I believe God is telling you to do that when they come up. Also think of what other unbelievers in your life have influenced your life, because there's probably a lot of people that you wouldn't recognize. And who are the powerful people out there that we should be praying for? What do I want you to take away with today? Well, first, I want you to take away action. I want you to go out and do something, change something, whatever it is. Don't always be looking at self. Look outside of that. Look at what other people are seeing. Secondly, recognize that God is working in our world. As strange as it may look and seem, God is at work. And I don't always agree with how God's functioning because I don't get why certain things happen. But I know because of his character that he's going to work it out and it'll all come clear one day. And thirdly, value the influence of all people, positive and negative. because it'll change your life. That focus from me, me, me to others changes your view on everything. You don't get so frustrated when you're out and about because you don't know what they're going through. And a common saying would be, put yourself in their shoes before we start losing it. Let's recognize that God uses so many different people and so many different situations that can influence our lives, to change us, to influence us. So today when you walk out those doors, whatever you're doing, wherever you're going, however that journey takes you, thank God for those people in your lives, positive and negative. Let's pray.